Hello everyone, grace and peace be unto you. I hope that all is well with you and your family during this holiday season. Today we want to talk about something God put on my heart, and I am entitling it Weapon of Mass Distraction. What the Lord began to deal with me about is that if the enemy can just keep God's people entertained, we will never engage him, pray like we need to, fast like we need to, study like we need to, and deny ourselves. So we're going to talk about today the weapon of mass distraction, which is entertainment. I want you to look at something, the word amusement, because amusement is connected to entertainment. And it's dawned on me how this is one of the enemy's greatest weapons. So amuse, the word amuse means to divert the attention. It means to beguile, delude. It comes from an old French word, amuseur, which means fool, teaser, hoax, entrapment, make fun of. From a Latin, muse, which means to ponder, stare fixedly. So muse in Latin means to ponder, to stare fixedly. The original English census obsolete meaning, which is divert from serious business, tickle the fancy of. And this was from the 1630s through the 18th century, that meaning. But the primary meaning was to deceive, to cheat. To cheat by first occupying the attention. And the word that used to be used before we began to use amuse, they used to use bemuse, B-U-M-U-S-E, which means, or bemuse, it actually retained more of the original meaning. In the Greek, it meant without muses, hence uneducated. So that was more of the original meaning of that word. Now we're going somewhere. Let's look at this. Synonyms of amuse: divert entertainment, or divert. Synonyms of amuse is divert, entertain, to cause to pass the time pleasantly. Now, entertain suggests supplying amusement by specially contrived methods. And that's what we're getting ready to dig into. And I want you to see something else as a footnote. The word muse, M-U-S-E, is connected to music, M-U-S-I-C. And for a lot of people, music is a great form of amusement. And it keeps a lot of people, especially believers in the kingdom, it keeps us entertained, diverted, beguiled, deluded, distracted. See, now, all of this means what? The enemy is using, especially for American believers, his weapon of mass distraction is amusement, things that entertain us. because as long as God's people are distracted with entertainment, we are not fulfilling the Great Commission. We are not saving souls. We are not casting out devils. We are not laying hands on the sick. We are not doing what God called us to do. So this is dear to my heart, and it goes to this is one of the layers of the ignorance and laziness in the American portion of the body of Christ. And so I wanted to dissect this and deal with this for a minute. So now that we understand that, we must ask the question, what is the biblical focus of the church? And we just mentioned some of those things we ought to be doing. We should be learning the word, worshiping the Lord, taking care of the widow, the fatherless, and stranger, healing, delivering, setting people free. We must remember we are the church. And so the way that we have been conditioned to perceive and understand church isn't quite the way the Bible says we ought to understand and comprehend church. When we go to church, after we've worshiped the Lord and received proper instruction, we're supposed to be mobilized as the body of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, to advance the kingdom of heaven in our own prospective communities by using the gifts, the power, the grace, the nature of God, and the anointings in our lives individually and corporately to break the back of the devil in our prospective communities, to mend the brokenhearted, cast out spirits, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to disciple men, and to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's the main focus of the church, okay? But all too often, especially depending upon what denomination you came into the knowledge of Christ under, you may have never did any of the things I just listed. And it's not all your fault, because as a babe in Christ, you didn't know what you're supposed to be doing. You are susceptible to the leadership that was given to you. And so we need to deal with that, because one of the greatest places of entertainment is the church. Now, I came up under the Kojic banner of Christ. Kojic stands for Church of God in Christ. And the church I went to in Harvey, Illinois, Sunday service wasn't a typical American Sunday service. Even for a black church, Sunday service was a production. Our church was called the Happy Church on the South Side. One of the main focal points of Sunday service, of course, was the choir. It wasn't a very big church. It was a medium-sized church, maybe a couple hundred members. But it was a production, and the choir was nothing to play with. And so, make a long story short, on Sunday, the choir was dressed up, not in robes. The men, or young men that was in a choir, we were dressed usually in black and white or black and red, something like that. And we wore dress pants, dress shirt, and a cummerbund and bow tie. That's how serious it was. And of course, the sisters was in a black and white or black and red skirt and blouse and heels. And everybody was waiting for the choir to march in. And this is just regular Sunday service. And it was like a wedding. You know how you waited for the bride to march in from the back down the middle aisle? Well, that's what the choir did. So everyone arose like the bride was getting ready to come in. And the music started and the church service started as the choir marched in. And it was a spectacle. And the choir could throw down. Along with that, every single announcement was something special. When usually when I was there, one of my aunts was the person designated to give the announcements. And when she would get up, she would be receiving accolades and hand claps just as she walked up to give the announcement, because everything was a big deal on Sunday morning. Now, everyone else was wearing their best. See, because you came to be entertained. So you wore your best clothes, your best shoes or heels, your best cologne or perfume. Made sure your hair was done, a cut for Sunday service. It was a big deal because it was a production. And in our church, Sunday service was a live broadcast. And so when the first lady got up to introduce the radio audience into the live broadcast of the church, her introduction to the people of the church, the Happy Church on the South Side, was another spectacle. I will give you a taste of that, but some family members may get a hold of this teaching and come looking for me. And then, of course, the pastor got up to pray, and he would pray, man, a good 30 minutes for the sick and shut in. It was another spectacle. And then when a choir did their A, B, C, D, E, F selections, they was one of the best choirs in Illinois. So what am I trying to say? There's absolutely nothing wrong with what I just stated. On one condition, that the church had already been the church before this great spectacle and production on Sunday morning. In other words, before Sunday morning, as a body of believers in that location, if we had not taken care of the widow, the fatherless, the stranger, the hurting and helpless, visited the prisoners, the sick and shut in, clothed the naked, fed the hungry, went door to door. See, if we had not been the church and helped the community and actually touched people with the power of God, with the compassion and mercy and grace of God, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we had not done any of that before Sunday service, that whole production was a waste. As awesome as the preaching may have been, it was a waste. As awesome as the singing may have been, and the images and spectacle of it all may have been, it would have been a waste. So what am I trying to say? Many of us have grown up where church is religious, and it's about the external, and it's about what you look like, and it's about what the building look like, and the stained glass windows, and the marble floor, whatever it may be. It has not been about the heart and purpose of why we were saved. We were not saved to sit. We were saved to serve. And most of that service should come outside the four walls of the church. So going back to the title, that was just an example of how the enemy's weapon of mass distraction is the entertainment that's in the church. The amusement that is the enemy's greatest weapon in many of our lives. The amusement, the ability to divert the attention of, to make us fools. The enemy uses as a hoax and entrapment to make fun of, where we just get stuck pondering and staring fixedly upon something. See, where he's tickling our fancy. And we're just amused, and we become muses through entertainment and its methods, whether it's music or fashion. And we are to delve into that a little deeper. But I wanted to make this point crystal clear. If we're not first doing what we're called to do, all of the shouting, testimony, celebrating, see, that's going on without doing the first works, it's all for nothing. I don't care what nobody say. It's all for nothing. And I believe this. I believe the American church is what Jesus was talking about in his story of Lazarus and the rich man. We are the rich man. You say, preacher, how is the church the rich man? Because who else holds the riches that is in Christ Jesus but the church? We do. Wouldn't you call eternal life rich? Wouldn't you call the forgiveness of sins rich? Wouldn't you call having access and relationship with the Father and being able to go boldly to the throne of grace rich? Wouldn't you call a relationship with God rich? Wouldn't you call being able to learn his word, his wisdom, his knowledge and understanding rich? Wouldn't you call knowing and operating in the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit rich? Wouldn't you call the ability to walk in the fruit of the Spirit rich? Wearing the armor of God, having authority over the enemy rich? The ability to cast out devils and heal every form of disease rich? We are the rich man. And just like in the story, all we do, what the rich man did, he was faring sumptuously. He was wearing his fine clothing. That's what we do on Sunday morning. We wear our fine clothing. And he fared sumptuously. In the Greek, that literally means he had a very voluptuous and expensive celebration. That's exactly what that means. And that's what we do. We give all our money, you know, to the church, so it can look a certain way, or, you know, depending on what the man of God is supposedly doing with it. And because we want that production, we need that distraction. We need that amusement. See, we need to be able to stare and fix upon something that will make our flesh feel better. Now, hear me. As long as we are singing, we're not casting out devils. As long as we are dancing, we're not healing the sick. Real ministry is not glamorous. It's fulfilling, it's rewarding, but it is not glamorous. And that's why many of us have not delved into actually being the church. We would rather continue just having church and going to church. Now, another way that we're deceived with the enemy's weapon of mass distraction and entertainment and amusement is we're distracted with the amusement of paganism. Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Christmas, Easter, Halloween. These are pagan holidays. Yeah. And you know what? I don't even have to go to the Bible. I only have to look up anything in the Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. Look in your own encyclopedia. Google it. Say, Siri, give me the history of Christmas. Alexa, give me the history of Easter.
Easter is a holiday that celebrates the Christian belief in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, described in the Bible as having occurred on the third day of his burial after his crucifixion by the Romans at Calvary in 30 AD. Many of the traditions are borrowed from pagan fertility rites and the festival of Easter, but a fully formed Christian festival of Easter began to appear in the mid-second century.
There you go. Did you hear the last part of that? And what's even more disturbing is how when you sit down and try to just have a regular conversation with so-called believers today about the truth behind these pagan holidays, at the end of the day, they're not giving it up. Now, the only time someone hears the truth and refuse to let it go is because it's an idol. I'm gonna say that again. The only time when people hear the truth about something but refuse to change their mind concerning it or change their behavior concerning it is because it is a god to them. It is an idol to them. And this is what Christmas, Halloween, and Easter is. And this is why cults like Jehovah Witnesses and other ones are able to bring weak-minded, biblically illiterate believers over to their side because they sit down and show these ignorant Christians the truth behind these holidays. And when they read it for themselves, a lot of them are so disgusted that their own church and their own pastors and leaders didn't explain it to them that they just leave. They cross over to the other side. This happens all the time. Islam does it. Mormons does it. And every other religion in America does it. They focus in on the chinks in the American Christian armor and are able to deceive a lot of people by just showing them part of the truth. Now, getting back to these pagan holidays, I'm not going to use the time of this lesson to break down what's really in these holidays, but I want to say this. Why are we celebrating these three pagan holidays that's not found anywhere in Scripture when God have given us seven in Scripture, seven holy? That's what holidays come from. It's literally holy days, seven holy days in Scripture for us to celebrate. Some of which is the Feast of Tabernacles, Yom Kippur, see, things of that nature. You can do your research on that. I'm not going to break all of that down. But what I'm trying to say is those three holidays take up so much of our energy, so much of our time, treasure, and talent. And we have conditioned our families around these pagan holidays. We've conditioned our time and our vacation time and our family time and our church time. And it's an abomination. You know why? Because it's one of the enemy's weapons of mass distraction. As long as we are putting up Christmas trees, hanging Christmas lights, spending our last to get Christmas gifts, you're not saving souls, you're not preaching the gospel, and you're not doing what God called you to do. See? If the enemy can just keep God's people entertained, he won't have to do anything else, because we're blinded and distracted by it. We never pray against him. We never engage him. And we never push back the forces of darkness, because we're having so much fun. See, we're listening to all our favorite music and watching our favorite programs, and we can't put our phone down, and we're just zombies and mummies walking around deceived. Now I'm gonna dig a little deeper, because I want you to really see how ignorance is bliss in the church today. Mm-hmm. Since we're dealing with this weapon of mass distraction, did you know that beauty and cosmetics is, for the women especially, is one of his greatest weapons of this mass distraction that's connected to the entertainment? Mm-hmm. Because what do we do when we go to church? For many of us, we wear our best. We want to look our best. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. But when we dig a little deeper and we see where a lot of this comes from, see, just like, where did Christmas come from? You can't bring a clean thing from an unclean thing. See, where did Easter come from? See, and so, you know, ignorant churches do stuff like, instead of just ignoring Halloween, because the roots of that day and the celebration of that day is demonic, instead of just ignoring it like you would anything else that you don't believe in and you don't want to support, we don't do that. We do stupid stuff like, oh, we're having a harvest fest. No, why not just have regular church service and ignore that? No, we're having trunk and treat. And so we're going to get all of the adults to, you know, come into the parking lot of the church or some other location. And we're still going to have our children dress up. And we're going to put treats in the trunk. And so instead of them going door to door to strangers' houses and getting treats, we're going to give it to them. We're just going to replace the enemy's holiday with our own. Well, that's what they did with Christmas. That's what they did with Easter. And it's ignorant. We have no business dabbling in it at all. But we do. So, and with that being said, let's dig a little deeper and let's look at the distraction of entertainment that's in the church through fashion. Well, I don't know if the sister's gonna like me after this one, but it's the truth anyhow. First, let me give you a little history. Many of you may have just listened to a teaching I did on Nephilim. And so I'm gonna piggyback on a little bit of that to bring this truth out. So in Genesis chapter 6, when the Bible says the sons, there were some sons of God that took daughters of men and married them and gave crossbreeding gave birth to Nephilim or giants in that day, which were wicked perversions of nature. And these angels taught, one of the things that they taught their evil sons to do was these were the people who introduced painting of the face to women, cosmetics, you know, eyeliner, eyeshadow, you know, how to bat their eyes, how to wear seductive things to seduce a man. These angels were the ones, because this is part of the occult, and I'm getting ready to show you how. They was the ones introduced this into mankind. Instead of a woman using her natural beauty. Now, am I saying anything's wrong with wearing makeup? No, I'm not. Am I saying anything wrong with going to get your hair done? Of course not. That would be like saying there's something wrong with washing your body. But you need to do a little more research. As far as the cosmetics and the hair that you may be using, it's very important. And the soaps and lotions you are using is very important. All you have to do is turn on your TV. You will find some class action suit about certain lotions, powders that's causing cancer. So as simple as that stuff may be, we have to be a little more informed. Now, I have to move on. So check this out. Did you know that placenta is used in the manufacturing of cosmetics? Because placenta serves as a source of protein and hormones, mostly estrogen and progesterone in cosmetics. It's used as an anti-aging treatment, which reduces wrinkles. They use the stem cells, which promote cell regeneration. So all day long on TV, you see certain major cosmetic lines promoting their name brand, Regenerate or something else by Olive Olay for anti-wrinkling. See, this is stuff that has to do with vanity, that has to do with beauty and external things that's connected to how we look. This is a weapon of mass distraction. Because if you knew what was going on behind the scenes, a lot of this stuff you wouldn't touch, or you would do a little better, a little more research before applying these things on your body. Because some of us are so distracted with looking beautiful and fashion and jewelry, we don't even realize a lot of this stuff started with the enemy. If you think about it, who runs the fashion industry? I'll wait. It's almost 100% homosexual ran. Who run the fashion industry, the entertainment industry, makeup, cosmetics? See? On top of that, did you know that certain rings, necklaces, and chains are designed by evil spirits? See, all of that came, these things began before the flood with these angels who left heaven to take wives of their own and produce the wicked race of giants. These angels who perverted all creation, which caused the holy God to say, I need to kill everything. It wasn't because of regular sin. It was because all of creation was being contaminated and perverted through the occult and the dark arts and crossbreeding everything in creation. Well, God said, I need to kill everything and start over with Noah and his family. These same angels were the ones who introduced the wearing of charms, necklaces, rings and bracelets and things of that nature, because they were designed then and now by evil spirits, so that when the human wears it, the design coming from the demonic realm gives legality and legal access into your life. Some of you may not believe that, but it's true anyhow. Let's get back to the beauty. One of the big billion-dollar parts of the beauty industry today is the selling of hair, particularly human hair. synthetic hair cannot be manipulated, you know, can't receive as much heat and things of that nature that human hair may be able to. But a little research behind the human hair, you will find, because most of this stuff is coming from the East. And every sister knows this. This is why you go to the Chinese shop to get all your beauty products, because the stuff is coming from over there. And the Chinese owners have better connections, which gives you a better price. Am I right about it? And so a lot of this human hair is coming from the East. And did you know that in many of these places, in India and the Orient, these young girls who's growing this hair for you, and the ladies, when they grow their hair, they actually bring it to their temples, to their place of false gods and worship. They cut their hair and use it as an offering. Remember, the scripture says that a woman's hair is her glory. She's cutting her glory and offering it in her temple to her false god. They take it, because that's money that she's giving them. They take it, package it, and send it to you sisters in America to pay a pretty penny for. Unbeknownst to you, that hair that you're wearing have been offered to demons. And I want you to see something in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. See? Beauty has a lot to do with pride and haughtiness. Because the daughters of Zion, he's talking about the women of God. That's what daughters of Zion is speaking of, the women who are in covenant with God. Because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanting eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tingling with their feet. Now watch this. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. Now that's the King James Version, but secret parts is translated uncover or make their foreheads bare. So I'm gonna read that last part again. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover or uncover and make bare their foreheads. Now, sisters, I'm talking to you. Those who may have been wearing fake hair or other people's hair for an extended amount of time, it causes your hair to fall out. And the first place it began to fall out is right at the hair lining in the front. And have you noticed how so many sisters' hairline is going further and further and further back because of wearing false hair, fake hair, or other people's hair? And because you didn't realize, because you just trying to look cute, see, you just being distracted, you just want to look a little better, not realizing the stuff you were sowing in your hair, glowing in your hair, was offered to devils. And a curse came with it. I can't make this stuff up. It's right there in the Bible. He said, I will discover or uncover and make their foreheads bare. Reason why so many sisters, instead of having their natural lining in the front, their entire forehead and backwards for 5, 6, 7 inches is now bare because of this very thing. Because we've been distracted with beauty and it came at a high price. Now, as a footnote, I want to give you some gross things that's used in cosmetics. We already discussed placenta. Now, some sisters that may be listening to this, back in the day, after you gave birth to your child, the nurse or someone in the hospital used to approach you. I don't know if they still do. They used to approach you and ask you to sign a release of your placenta for cosmetic reasons. Some of y'all know this. So some gross things that's used in cosmetics. We just mentioned placenta. Human breast milk is used in a lot of soaps. While you washing your body, some of that is some other woman's breast milk. Did you know that beetles, I'm talking about taking the whole beetle, that's been feeding off a certain plant, like a cactus, is ground up whole, and its juices is used in lipstick. Did you know that infant foreskin is used in collagen? Whale vomit is used as a perfume base. Bull semen is used in some places to shine hair or make it more shiny. Roadkill or decaying animals is used in skin conditioning, as a skin conditioning agent, in lipstick, eyeshadow, and soaps. Did you know that snail secretions is used in anti-aging creams? That's just a few things. You're putting it in your hair, on your face, on your body, and it's coming from some of the most gross places on the planet. We need to be more aware. I want to make a footnote going back to music comes from the word muse. And we are amused. We spend a lot of our time, many of us, being occupied and distracted with the amusement of music. Now, music comes from God. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't believe or expect any believer to only listen to gospel or something Christian oriented. I think that's overkill, and that's become super religious. But we do have to watch what goes in our different gates, our eye gate, our ear gate, our mouth gate, the gate of our heart and the gate of our mind. We have many gates that we have to have watchmen over. let me just say this. If you say that you're born again and you love the Lord, and you are at least trying to raise your children in the admonition and fear of the Lord, but they are listening to hip hop and you know it, you fell in as a parent. Yeah, I said it. The enemy already have your children through hip hop. Now, some of you guys need to go online and sit down with your children and watch as many episodes. Go on YouTube, look up Craig G. Lewis, Exposing Hip Hop Music. If you haven't and you have children, you need to. Your eyes will be open. But without even using the things that that brother bring out about hip hop, if you don't even choose to do that and use it, you already know the lyrics. You already know the theme. You already know how provocative, explicit, X-rated, and extraordinarily demonic these songs are. They leave nothing to the imagination. If you say you're born again and you actually love God and you love your children and you have no control over that genre of music being played in your house, something is seriously wrong. Because all they're talking about is sex, money, killing, drugs, clubbing, particularly for the young girls. Some way, shape, or form, getting a bigger butt, breast implants, more fake hair, stripping to make money. For the guys, as many women as you can get, have as many children as you can, make as much illegal money as you can, and just have a good time. Turn up, have a ball. That's Antichrist. If you're comfortable with that, I'm telling you to your face, you're a horrible parent. Mm-hmm. That was for free. Getting back to this weapon of mass distraction, which is entertainment and amusement in the people of God. Now, after we have did all we can do through the cosmetics and the fashion and the name brands and the music and the digital gadgets, all this stuff that dumbs us down, distracts us. And you walk through the mall and everybody got a phone in front of them. See, back in the day, this was a futuristic movie. They showing something in the future that will have people like zombies. And we're living in that day. You walk through a mall while they're walking outside or inside the mall. So everybody, every single person in the mall got a phone in front of them. Walking while they looking at the phone. Isn't that crazy? And it's normal now. So, and I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the people of God. We have bought in just like them. See, we're all the way in. We're sold out for this stuff. Our children got as much of this junk as the world got. We got as much as this junk. See, the sisters in the church, a great portion on Saturday of the beauty industry, the shops, beauty supplies, a great portion of their wealth is coming from women that go to church. It's church girls buying the hair, buying the makeup, buying the lipstick, buying all this stuff. It's coming from us. And so after we have consumed and spent our whole week being distracted with movies and video games and cartoons and television and Netflix and Hulu and in the theater and your favorite programming and your soaps and everything, and you're on your phone 24 hours a day and you're worried about what you're going to wear and what you're going to smell like, and done with all this distraction, come home, when we get done, we go to sleep and we rest. We relax, we're snoring, we're dreaming, and we're at ease. And we wake up and we do it all again. Guess what? Guess what's happening while you sleep? The devil is up working. Let me give you a short story. Well, I was at church a few years back, and a prophetess of God was the guest speaker, and she got up and she began to tell a story about how when she was younger, she had a friend that invited her to come to a service. The service was going to start a little later, and she agreed to go. She said when she got there, it looked like regular people. No one was in black hoods. It didn't look like a demonic coven. But her friend, unbeknownst to her, was a Satanist. And she said it was regular people, very cordial and, you know, nice and gregarious, and felt comfortable around them. And she said, of course, it started later. She said, but at midnight, these normal, regular looking people got together and they began to pray, just like anybody else at church would be praying. But the prayers was a little different, because they had on the chalkboard three pastors' names that they were praying against. Of course, this was probably in the late 80s or early 90s. And she said the pastors' names were Jim Baker, who used to be the president of Praise the Lord. He was like the number one Christian personality out at that time. Jimmy Swaggart, who was huge back then, and Benny Hinn, who, of course, had an awesome ministry. And she said they began to pray and curse, send evil spirits, hexes, incantations against these three men. Now, let me tell you something. They didn't begin to pray till midnight. Why do you think that? Because 99.9% of all so-called believers would be sound asleep. And their works, their words, their hexes would go unhindered. For the record, for those of you that may not know, Jim Baker fell, spent at least 7 years in prison. Jimmy Swaggart fell. I don't know if he was around, but remember seeing him on national TV, weeping, crying, asking the world for forgiveness. And they hit Benny Hinn hard. He was on national news. He's the only one that recovered. Their prayers worked. My question is, why aren't yours? Let me give you a secret. Are you asleep at midnight? Because your enemy isn't. So by the time you woke up in the morning, the devil and his people have been praying against you for at least 8 hours. And you waking up on the defense because you was never on the offense. It's the truth. And there's something spiritual about midnight. So let me break it down for you. In the occult, it's called the witching hour. Whether you're a witch, a wizard, a warlock, Satanist, of the such, you better be up doing your hexes, your spells, your incantations, whatever you into, you better be up at midnight doing it. Because the people you're doing it against is sound asleep. And most of the time, that stuff works on God's people. It's the truth. Now, Psalms 119:62 says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Isn't that something? Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. There was an earthquake, and all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. See what happens at midnight when you up and you praying and you praising? There's breakthroughs. People's bands were loosed. Doors, people in prison, doors were open. Instead of you being imprisoned, see, instead of the enemy able to imprison you, your finances, your family, your children, your mind, your marriage, your emotions. If you are praying, can be loosed. Exodus 12:29, at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. Now, let me break this down for you. The firstborn is your flesh. We were born first in the flesh or physically. And if you give your heart to Christ, you're born again or spiritually. So when you're born again, that's your second birth because it's a spiritual birth. But your first birth is when you came through your mother's womb in the flesh. You were born physically first. So at midnight in the Old Testament as a type, when God killed the firstborn of Egypt, it is a picture of your flesh dying. Okay. When do you put your flesh in check and kill your firstborn of Egypt? At midnight. See, your body needs two things to live: food and water. I'm sorry. If we put food and water together, it needs food and it needs sleep. Okay? The flesh needs food and the flesh needs sleep. So any Christian worth his or her weight in the kingdom will have an active life, some way, shape, or form of fasting and praying and sacrificing part of their sleep to be up praying, praising, and putting the enemy at flight and opening up prison doors and causing people's bands to be loosed. See, because the scripture says here, Psalm 119, David said, I will arise and give thanks at midnight. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and was given praise and thanks, and the prison doors was open. At midnight, God smote the firstborn of Egypt. Matthew 25:6 says, at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. On this side of glory, we are here to work, not rest. We are here to war, not wait for the rapture. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We are caught up, distracted with fashion, with beauty, with name brands, with cosmetology, with external pleasures and images. And after we're filled with all of that, we have the audacity to go home and sleep through all the distractions. God is calling us to rise up. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. Paul said, I would not have you, brethren, to be ignorant. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Let us no longer allow the enemy to use his weapon of mass distraction, of entertainment, to amuse us, divert us, and get our attention to beguile and delude us. We supposed to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We need to be up at midnight praying, covering your family, your neighborhood, and the rest of the church. We need to be wiser concerning the things we're consuming, concerning the entertainment factor that's in the church. We need to be vigilant. We need to be evangelizing. We need to be walking in the personality and nature of God. We need to be touching the homeless, the helpless, and the hurting. We need to be the body of Christ. It's time to be the church and stop having church. I'm out.